Hello everyone, welcome to yet another episode of Revising Dentistry. Today we're going to talk about oral cancer. As dentists, what can we do about it? How can we diagnose it? How can we make patients aware about it? Let's welcome today's guest, Dr. Pranay Pardeshi.
Dr. Pranay Pardeshi has completed his MDS in oral and maxillofacial surgery. He is a practicing oral maxillofacial surgeon specializing in oncology. To add another feather to his hat, he has pursued bachelor's in law from Mumbai University. He is a fellow of Indian Board of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons. He has many articles related to oral oncosurgery under his credits. Let's welcome Dr. Pranay Pardeshi.
Hi, Dr. Pranay.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's been long. We are meeting again.
Yeah. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And when I thought of inviting you, I had a few topics in my head, looking at studies that you have done. But one thing that was very close to me personally was oral cancer and awareness that we have as dentists within us. Because I have seen, it's personal to me, reason being that my own grandfather had multiple myeloma and he had osteoradionecrosis of his jaw and everything.
Okay.
So, I really wanted to shoot this podcast with you.
Sure.
Oral cancer is third most common cancer in India. And I was looking at a few videos that were like success stories or, you know, the process, how it got diagnosed and the treatment was done on internet. In West, there are a lot of dentists and dental hygienists that are catching this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, diagnosing this and creating the awareness. In India, what do you think, like, what is the scenario?
In India, suddenly there has been a big rise in the number of oral cancer cases, you know.
Okay.
And as a dental surgeons, we play the most pivotal role in identifying, because we are the first guys to see the oral cavity.
Yeah.
That's the mouth, you know.
Yeah.
So, what I feel is, the moment you see anything other than white or pink, which is the most peculiar color in the oral cavity, then one must, you know, there must be a strike in the mind that, you know, there is something wrong. Say, for an example, if you see a white patch or you see something reddish, or maybe on a tooth you see some black spot, that could be a cavity, you know. So anything other than white and pink you see in the oral cavity, that should strike you that this needs to be investigated, this needs to be checked. That can be in the form of ulcer, a white patch, a red patch, you know, anything like that could be. So dentist role is a big in diagnosis of oral cancer. If we are able to diagnose these patients early, at a very early stage, the treatment becomes very easier and the prognosis is very good in the future.
Okay.
It's like that. So, earlier we diagnose, the better it is for the patient.
Okay.
And the outcome is beautiful.
Okay.
Compared to advanced cancer cases.
Okay. So this is in the, while we are doing an intraoral examination.
Yes.
But while taking history, like a step back, if we are listening to certain kind of, like, you know, habits or anything, do you think that the habits are the only reason that are causing oral cancer?
See, out of say around 100 cases, 70% of them are because of the tobacco or tobacco related, you know, habits. It could be in form of chewing tobacco, smoking tobacco, or, you know, some people keep the tobacco in the oral cavity, or it could be in the form of mishri they use it, you know. So any form of tobacco along with alcohol can cause cancer, but this is about 70% of the cases. But remaining 30% of the cases have been reported because of poor oral hygiene and HPV stain 16, that is the human papilloma virus stain 16. So remaining 30% of the cases are because of either poor hygiene, which is, you know, because of the sharp tooth, or the sharp tooth is causing some sort of ulcer, and that ulcer is eventually turning out to be into cancer, which is gone undiagnosed, you know, and not treated rightly. So, not dedicatedly, I would say that 70% of the cases, yes, the huge number is because of certain habits that patient has, but remaining 20 to 30% of the cases are also because of poor hygiene and human papilloma virus, stain 16.
Okay. So, as you said, any rough kind of edge that can be caused either by the tooth or by the filling material, which is like, you know, any kind of cavity that is filled. So, is it that in certain kind of duration that turns into cancer, or is it like ignored, and what is the duration?
See, it's very subjective to patient, you know. say, if for an example, if this patient who has a sharp tooth and there has been a chronic irritation and that ulcer has been coming again and again and again, and plus he has an underlying disease of diabetes mellitus and uncontrolled sugar is there. So there are high possibility that, you know, that patient, this patient can be, you know, can later on, this ulcer can convert into cancer. So because, you know, the immune system, the amount, the way the healing system works in these patients is very different. So we must pay good attention to oral hygiene and oral care as well, you know.
So you must have seen a lot of cases of oral cancer, but do you think that they are being referred through the dentist, or like how did they come to you, like, you know?
Yeah, so most of my cancer patients come from the dentist, because, you know, as we all are dental surgeons, and then we do our MDS and maxillofacial surgery, and then we do our special training in treating oral cancer. So most of my patients do come from, you know, directly referred by the dental surgeons. But there is a good chunk of numbers, or, you know, the good chunk of patients also come through via screening in the camps and referral by one patient to another, you know, that has been previously treated by us, you know. So these are another way how the patients do come to us.
So as you said, oral screening, like, you know, what are the steps in that, and is there anything, something advanced going on in that?
Yeah, so see, as a dental surgeon, the way you check your teeth, in addition to, you just have to do some modification in screening, you know. Just ask the patient to open the mouth wide, examine the lips, the tongue, the floor of the mouth, the upper jaw, the hard palate, the soft palate, the throat area, you know, all these things need to be screened well, okay? They need to be palpated. If you feel anything hard, if you feel any ulcer, if patient is complaining of some sort of burning sensation in the oral cavity, then all these things should be jotted down on a paper and patient should be kept under observation. And if there is any hardness or any induration or any ulcer that is seen, then that needs to be further investigated either by a specialist or, you know, you should refer it to one with an expert in that.
Okay.
Screening of the oral cancer.
Okay. So, as you said, the floor of the mouth, I guess, that is one thing which is highly ignored when we as dentists start doing checkup.
Yes.
And floor of the mouth, the changes in the floor of the mouth is the most common one that happens in oral cancer.
So, oral cancer, most common, actually, certain articles report buccal mucosa also as one of the most common. Certain articles report tongue and floor of the mouth also as most common, commonly reported cancers. But our experience, we have seen most of the cancers happening on the tongue as most common cancers. A small study that we had done a few years back, which stated that tongue cancer is one of the most common cancers. However, there are a few studies cannot be ignored. So buccal mucosa and tongue cancer, you can say, are the most commonly happening cancers in India.
Okay. So once, like, you know, if the patient comes to us with an ulcer, the first line of treatment that we usually give is vitamin, like, you know, supplements. If there is any sharp tooth, we smoothen it out and, like, we wait for the patient to heal. But what is the duration that we should wait and not ignore it? And what the next follow-up should be after how many days?
See, first and foremost, we need to understand how long this ulcer has been in the patient's mouth. Okay, first thing. Secondly, how big the ulcer is. Okay, if it's a small ulcer and you see there is an obvious cause of it, say like a sharp tooth, then we can give around a week or so for that ulcer to heal, along with some sort of multivitamin support and local gel application and all this thing. But if within a week's time, if it doesn't resolve, then we must further investigate it by doing a biopsy.
Okay.
And it should be on black and white, whether it's cancer or it's not cancer. It's very simple.
Okay.
But I don't prefer waiting for more than a week or so, because otherwise these certain ulcers, they spread very fast. And if there is an ulcerative tumor or it's an ulcerative cancer, then it penetrates deeper, you know. Rather than a proliferative disease, you know, a disease which is more proliferative will not be penetrative, while an ulcerative disease is more penetrated. So the depth in which the tumor is involved would be more in an ulcerative lesion rather than a proliferative lesion. So that is why ulcers are very dangerous, you know. So they penetrate deep inside. These lesions, if they turn out to be cancer, they can be really deep. It's like that. So moment you see an ulcer, take the history properly. See how long that ulcer has been there. Take history, take medical history well, whether these patients have been getting these ulcers on and off. Because every ulcer cannot be cancer. Okay? So, there are certain ulcers which we get because of, you know, certain vitamin deficiencies and certain amount of stress in our life. You know, all these things, dehydration, some sharp tooth as you said. So, all these things can cause to abscess ulcers, but if they don't heal in time, then it should be something to worry about for the patient as well as for us to take care of them, you know.
Okay. Okay. As you said, the presence of HPV virus, how can we diagnose it? Like,
see, HPV cases are most commonly seen in the West.
Okay. Okay.
It's not very common in Indian scenario. However, a few cases have been reported. But when you take the biopsy or when you send the sample, there you can do HPV screening through that.
Okay.
And as you know, the HPV virus is mainly because of the oral sex that happens. So that is the one of the reason why, and it is mostly causing oropharyngeal and nasopharyngeal cancers. Okay. And the main treatment line for these HPV virus patients is chemo radiation. You know, it's not directly surgery. They respond very well to chemo radiation. So that's one good part about it. So the response rate is good. The conservative response rate is very good, you know, in these patients. Conservative because we are not going surgical. That's why I'm using the word conservative, or you can say tissue sparing. You know, surgeries. You don't need to undergo surgery for these patients. You can treat them with chemo radiation.
Okay.
It's like that. So HPV not very common in India. Indian scenario mostly seen in the West. And that I would like to, to brief about HPV.
Okay. Okay. So, even the betel nut chewers that we have in India and the oral submucous fibrosis, that's like an early sign for it.
Yes.
And it's very common to be seen in the workers around and even the people who are like regular users of it.
Yeah.
But to give them that awareness that like, you know, it's a precancerous lesion or it's a precancerous sign.
Yeah.
Like, how can we do that?
So nowadays we don't use this terminology as precancerous. We use as PML, potentially malignant lesions. We use this as a new terminology. So all these potentially malignant lesions, and out of which oral submucous fibrosis in Indian scenario is one of the most common one that we see. And it's a big challenge. Okay, it's a big challenge for us as well as for dental surgeons who are treating them because the mouth opening is not there. So because the mouth opening is not there, it's very difficult to examine these patients. And we don't know what is happening inside if they're unable to open the mouth. So we need to screen them in whatever way the mouth is open. Okay. Identify if there's any lesion developing inside or no. And once you're sure that there's nothing prevalent, there's no disease in the mouth, then there are many ways in which oral submucous fibrosis can be treated. Either surgically, there are certain medicines which have been prescribed to these patients, which has very minimal role theoretically and study-wise if you see. However, there are certain studies which are also supporting the use of those drugs, you know.
Okay.
Like, you know, certain medicines which are available, they say that, I'm not taking any brand name, but there are certain antioxidants that say that they work really well on these.
Have you experienced such cases?
To be very honest, not real difference. You know, it's just... I personally have no supportive. I don't support giving those drugs to it. But to some extent, but what I've seen is when you see this oral submucous fibrosis patient, and when you tell them about the surgical option as a first line of treatment, they get scared. This is what I have noticed.
Okay.
So what I feel what we should do and how we should treat this patient is first, along with certain antioxidant, at least for 2 weeks, we must give them. Shots of injections that are there, you know, like say Placentrix, Hyaluronidase, Dexa, along with mix a little bit of LA in there, which I call as a khichdi formulation, you know, where we mix all these drugs and we inject, in the buccal mucosa and the RMT area. And what I've seen along with this, if you do a good stretching, oral stretching exercises, there have been some result where we have seen that patient's mouth opening has slightly improved. Comparatively. So by doing this, patient gains confidence in us, you know, that we are treating on the right lines, you know.
Okay.
And then, but the right treatment modality, if you ask me, would be intervening and doing the surgical work. But even after doing surgery, the patient compliance is very important. Patient needs to do a strict physiotherapy protocol even after surgery. So not necessary that surgery would be like the final thing out of it. The minimum 3 to 6 months of post-surgical physiotherapy is needed by these patients maintain that mouth, to do a good mouth exercises and all, to maintain that mouth opening that we have achieved during the surgery.
Okay.
And surgical options remain various, you know, from nasolabial flap to doing a free flap from, you know, radial forearm flap, doing local flaps like buccal pad fat, then you can do collagen, you can put skin graft after releasing the fibrous bands, you know, so there are multiple options available in surgery. Which I feel is the right treatment modality if the mouth opening of the patient is at least less than 20 to 25 mm. If it's less than 20 to 25 mm, we must not go for any other treatment modality but surgery. If you want to see a good result in these patients.
Yeah. But to counsel them to stop the habit, that is, I think, one of the biggest challenge, or maybe the scare itself does it. But this is a part where, like, you know, the tobacco chewers and everyone come into picture. But nowadays, newer generation is going to other kind or other forms of habit that are forming.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's talk about that.
So see, any form of tobacco, okay, whether it's in the form of vape or it's form of electric cigars or cigarettes, or it's in the form of, you know, that tambaku and whether gutka or any form, it's equally harmful. There is no ease to anything. All these tobacco products are equally harmful. And the change in trend is what now we are seeing patients who are pretty younger, you know, in age. Like when I started way back in 15-16 doing when I joined the cancer department, at that time we used to get patients who used to be in middle age.
Okay.
Now in 10 years time we are getting patients who are in the age group of 25 to 35 years of age. And there has been a patient who has been 22 years of age and have got CA tongue, you know. So there is a dramatic shift in the age group which are reporting of cancer. This is only because they have been exposed to the tobacco and tobacco-related products very early in their age, you know. This patient who got CA at 22, he was exposed to tobacco when he was in 4th and 5th standard of his school. And he left education later on. Okay, so you can imagine at what age they are getting exposed to tobacco.
Okay.
And this is a sad part that, you know, that the peer pressure surrounding, you know, the exposure, the ease of availability of the tobacco in our near vicinity is one of the main reason for, you know, people getting addicted to it. And the way it is being shown, you know, a camouflage advertisement,
yeah,
which is the way it's done. Though the tobacco is banned, but
big celebrity
is doing a camouflaging ads about it, you know. It is something to really, taken care of if you want to have a good cancer-free future for our country.
So I think it should not be easily that available.
Right.
Like, That's one of the biggest challenge, like, you know, because if there are parents who are looking towards their kids, because it's such a young age, that means there is some kind of exposure apart from the house, apart from home.
Absolutely.
If it's there outside.
Yeah.
Okay. So coming from there, like patients who are undergoing chemotherapy or patients who have been diagnosed as cancer, the dental treatments that are done, what dental treatments can be done before, what can be done during the chemotherapy, and what can be done after?
Okay, so once the patient is diagnosed with cancer, I would prefer that first the patient should undergo the surgery. Okay?
Okay.
If it's operable, the patient must undergo the surgery. Okay?
Okay.
If the patient is inoperable and is to be, and say post-operation or post-surgery, he has to go for radiation. At the time before the radiation, the dentist play a very pivotal role, because these patients who go for radiation become very high risk for radiation-induced cavities and radiation-induced trismus, you know, because of which the mouth opening reduces. And then the dental treatment becomes very difficult. And if you do any sort of extraction after the radiation, there are higher chances of patient undergoing osteoradionecrosis, or necrosis of the bone. I think we have seen a few cases. Remember, I think you must be remembering, we did one of the case at your clinic itself, yes, where patient had developed medical, yeah, you know, yeah, bronchial had developed bisphosphonate induced, yes, necrosis of the bone,
yeah,
which we had to eventually do the sequestomy.
Yeah.
What the dentist should do is, like, those patients who are going for the radiation, they must treat all the teeth, though, you know, even preventive treatment should be done.
Okay.
Say all the patients should undergo oral prophylaxis.
Okay.
If any filling or any root canals or any extractions are to be done, kindly do it at that time only.
Before starting
the radiation or before starting the chemotherapy as well.
Okay.
And after that, do the fluoride treatment of these patients. Okay, so these are the three most important things. First, oral prophylaxis. Second, you do whatever the necessary treatment plan is needed for this patient, say if root canal extraction, anything, and then the fluoride treatment,
okay,
which is of utmost importance.
Okay.
And then send this patient to the radiation oncologist. Nowadays, every radiation oncologist sends the patient to the dentist before radiation. So
yeah,
it has become like a like a proper systematic plan. It has been it's been intricated in the plan itself now. So most of the radiation oncologists will send the patient to the dentist now.
Okay.
So, but this is what you should do. And once if the radiation has undergone, and say, God forbid, this patient needs to really undergo, there is some emergency and needs to undergo, say, some huge swelling has sprung up within a year's time, then if you are trying to treat this patient, please treat this patient along with systemic antibiotic therapy, and in that coverage do the extraction of these patients.
Okay.
And I would prefer to do all the dental treatment of these patients except root canals and any invasive dental treatment, I would rather say. Say any surgical work or anything on the jaw if you want to do, and especially extraction, do it after 1 year of the radiation at least.
Okay. Not before
that.
Okay. Okay. So, what about the patients undergoing chemotherapy? Like,
the rules remain the same.
Same.
The rules remain
okay.
the same. Okay.
Okay.
Because nowadays, though we are not using bisphosphonates much in head and neck cancers.
Okay.
But certain patients may be given some oral bisphosphonates. You know, you never know. So, but the protocol remains the same. I would prefer to give it, do any treatment after a year of chemo and radiation once it's
over.
It's like that.
Okay. And in the cases where oral bisphosphonates are going on, like certain systemic cases, apart from oral HFN cancers, apart from that, if there are certain bisphosphonates going on, like what should you do in such cases?
See, if bisphosphonates are going on, first you need to consult the medical oncologist of that.
Okay.
Okay. Especially in multiple myelomas, you will see bisphosphonates are on, you know. So, you ask the medical oncologist that when was the last therapy given to these patients. And try and be conservative with these patients. Okay. Conservative in the sense, try to do minimum, but the best what is, and try to avoid extractions in these patients.
Okay.
Maintain a good hygiene. Okay. And with these small steps, we can prevent necrosis of the bone, you know. And if it's more than a year or so, and then definitely we can go ahead with some amount of antibiotic coverage, we can go ahead and do the treatment for these patients.
Okay.
But we need to consult the medical oncologist along with this, like when was the last therapy, and take a good history of the entire treatment protocol.
The healing in the patients after, like, you know, supposedly 1 year or post more than 1 year, any special care that needs to be taken for the healing part? Like if we do the any kind of procedure?
Not really. It remains the same. Now you can treat the patient the way you would be treating them before this. But yeah, anything within 1 year's time, you should take extra precaution. As I told you, you must try and give the systemic antibiotics to these patients.
Mm-hmm.
And with some amount of antibiotic coverage, you should treat this patient if you are doing any extraction or surgical work for this patient.
Okay.
Otherwise, post one and a half years of radiation, no need to worry. Treat them like the way you have been treating. Treat them like a normal patient.
Okay. Any of one of the cases that is really very close to you, like, you know, you've treated the patient, including the family, any kind of case that, like, you know, you remember and stays with you?
Yeah, so I would like to share two cases rather, not one, because one a good experience and one bad experience.
Okay.
All of them will share good experience, but will never share bad experience
yes.
with you. So the good experience was that, like, we have a small trust of ours, which is called Sea Smile Foundation. And this Sea Smile Foundation does a few shows annually by which we raise funds to treat these cancer patients.
Okay.
And one of our first patients, which we treated through this funding way back in 2018, the patient is still surviving. It's been 6 years now.
Wow.
Now, the best part is he underwent surgery, he underwent radiation, and post-radiation, he developed a big defect over here. So the defect has healed now, but there is still a big deformity. Okay, but still, that's the spirit of his, that, you know, belonging to a very, very low economic, you know, strata of our society. But till date, what he does is he calls us up on every day where we have performed his surgery, and he wishes us and he wishes himself also happy birthday, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because he says that that's his new life that we gave him. So this patient always reminds us that, you know, that you should never lose hope.
Okay.
You know, if you have, because most of these advanced cancer cases, because in India, most of the cases when they're reported to us, they come in advanced cases.
Yes.
Okay. And because, I don't know why, but people get scared. They try to find some alternative treatment modality in the form of homeopath or Ayurveda or some sort of, you know, what they call jadi booty and all those things, you know. So they go to some places in Valsad, Vapi, where all, I don't know. But eventually they come down, and they come down at a stage where, you know, the surgical modalities have to be so, where we need reconstruction options, where we need to do a free flap and such bulky flap, we need to do such big resections. So already once the tumor enters stage 4,
mm.
the prognosis already goes down to 40-50% survival,
okay.
You know. So the survival rate at stage 4 is almost 40-50%.
Okay.
So one must understand that that we should motivate these patients to get right treatment at the right time.
Okay.
Okay. That's the most important thing. So that's what happened. Though he came down late, but it was a T4 lesion, but had no, you know, it was a T4 lesion, and he took the way we told him, you know, that he took the treatment, he got the surgery done, and he took chemo radiation timely, and he has been following up with us regularly, you know.
Okay.
So he's undergone one surgery as of now. And it's been 6 years, and he's doing well. There's a big defect that can be seen, which has healed now. But by grace of God, and he's enjoying his second life. It's like that. So,
yeah.
And the second bad experience I want to share is one of my, as I told you, my young patient, a 26-year-old,
mm-hmm.
a CA tongue, very early CA tongue, you know, a T1, T2 lesion, excised. Upon neck dissection done, everything, radiation done, chemo done. And after that, that patient comes up with mets in the lungs, in the bone, and with it's a 1-6 months time. And, you know, so early lesion, like T1, T2 lesion, where we had to do only wide local excision with the neck dissection, followed with radiation, and this patient comes back after 6 months. When he comes back from his village for a regular follow-up, he feels I'm, you know, getting a backache. I'm getting,
mm.
you know, sometimes I get a lot of cough.
Mm.
So as a routine, I got a PET CT scan done.
Mm.
When I saw the PET CT, there was mets everywhere. And within next 3 to 4 months time, we lost him, you know. So it's very, you know, unpredictable. As my teacher used to always tell me, he always tells me that, you know, Dr. Ashok Mehta, who has taught me the entire oral cancer. So he always tells me that, Pranay, you must understand the biology of the cancer. It depends from patient to patient. So how it is going to behave in patient A may not behave in patient B.
Okay.
Certain patient may sit with these cancers, you know, and may do, it may be a really big tumor, but may do really good in the outcome. But certain patients may not have such aggressive disease or such big tumors,
mm.
but it can be very aggressive in nature.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, and can spread really fast like a wildfire.
Okay,
it's like that. So
okay.
it's very dependent from patient to patient. It's like that.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So these are my one good and one
one of the
bad
sad cases.
Yeah.
What do you think, that how's the awareness thing going on currently? in India about oral cancer?
Yeah, so if you talk about the awareness, there are a lot of initiatives being taken by government, mm-hmm. by private organizations, you know. Even we conduct a lot of camps and screening. But again, the problem comes down for availability of the treatment, the finances. Even if you diagnose, now recently, despite arranging everything, you know, patient doesn't even have 10 to 20,000 rupees to spend, you know, on the treatment or the surgery of the thing. So this is a major problem in India, you know, and that is why the treatment gets delayed, because the finances are not available. And when they go to government hospitals, the waiting is long, you know, and when they come down to private setup, the private setups, the costing is higher comparatively, you know. And then there are certain areas, certain hospitals like where we are working, where we provide them certain help with some amount of, you know, some NGO is supporting the treatment plan. However, what we have noticed is awareness is happening. We are able to get these patients on the table at the early stage, okay? And that's why the outcome and the outcome has improved. So, and there are a lot of now software that have also come. So the screenings are happening in tier 2, tier 3 cities also, based on the applications, you know, now.
Okay.
AI related applications have come up.
Okay.
So a lot of screening is happening based on that also nowadays.
Okay.
So technology has helped a lot in screening, and of course, but compared to the population that we have in India, screening is not proportionate.
Okay.
And still the rural areas where the habit of tobacco chewing and you know, they are more prone to these habits, we must concentrate over there as well.
Okay.
There are a lot of belts, you know, in India, like which needs to be dealt more frequently over there.
Okay. And what about certain points maybe you would like to share for the dentists, that apart from diagnosing and everything, that they should be careful about? Because see, as we discussed, that osteoradionecrosis of the jaw, it can begin, like, you know, there is a need to take proper history. But apart from that, there are certain things that they can take care of.
See, most commonly where I see, a patient comes and tells me, doctor ne daant nikala, uske baad mereko cancer ho gaya.
Haan.
Okay, this is a very most common thing that the patient has come and told me. So what I feel to my dental friends is that whenever you see any doubtful area, you know, in the oral cavity, first investigate that before extracting that tooth, okay? Because the patient feels that it, because you extracted the tooth, that's why that tumor has come to him. He doesn't understand that it was already there, and mobile tooth was one of the symptom, or you can say one of the, it has happened because the tumor has grown, you know, and the bone loss has happened, and that's why the tooth has become lost, you know, the loose over there. So I would suggest that you must first investigate if you see any sort of doubtful lesions over there, or if you see there's a bony expansion, there's a big swelling, investigate first.
Okay.
Any doubt, if you are in any doubt, call the specialist, get it evaluated, and then you go ahead and do the extraction once you get a clearance. If it's like a normal space infection, if it's a normal infection that has given rise to swelling, you get the tooth extraction done afterwards. It's like that. So diagnose, see whether there is any sort of proliferative growth or ulcero-proliferative growth, or there is an ulcerative lesion around that swelling, which has made that tooth loose. You know, so before you extract, be sure that it is not something else.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, it's like that.
Okay.
That's one thing I would want to tell
the dentist.
And radiation, we have already discussed well in detail, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's very clear with that.
Okay. So nowadays, see, implants have increased a lot. But if I have done in some patients, like if I've treated the patient with dental implants and everything, unfortunately, the patient, has cancer after certain years. So are there chances of the failure of that treatment also that we have done if the patient undergoes chemo?
If it's not in the if once the implant is osteointegrated, it will not fail.
Okay.
In the sense, not fail in the sense, of course it can fail because of bone loss, but if it's not involving that area where the cancer is, then automatically it will not fail.
Okay.
But you will see some amount of bone loss after radiation in that area. Okay. And nowadays, good if you have to remove the topic of implants. So nowadays, we have tried in few cases putting implants in those patients while we are doing a fibula bone graft, you know, where we have reconstructed the mandible. So we have tried putting implants over there. So we have succeeded in one of the cases, but still we have not been very successful in all the cases, because unfortunately some patients have not turned back to us, and some patients we have lost them, you know. And patients who have survived post radiation, 3 years the implant was good, but after 3 years we have the patient came with the denture in the implant in the hand, you know. So, but there are a lot of articles which are supporting rehabilitation of these cancer patients with dental implants, you know. So, at least my unit is still under the, you know, I can say that we are still in the learning phase of rehabilitating these patients with implant, but we are trying our level best to at least, you know.
The advanced technologies like the scanner, the 3D printing, and
exactly, that's what. So 3D printing has made our work very easy now.
Okay.
So we get you know these stimulated models, and we get these jigs where we can just fit on the bone and give the cuts directly. So it has made our life very easy now, especially in benign tumors when we are treating them. We are able to directly go in, place implants, and restore them also quickly, you know. Even in cancer, in reconstruction, say fibula grafting and all, you know, the cuts have been made so precise that it has helped us to, you know, give them the outcome, very aesthetic outcomes, you know.
Okay.
And also with the 3D models and printing and all, we are able to assess the tumor so well now, you know, how far it has reached. So it has, you know, advances have really made things easier for us.
Yeah. Maybe it has become easier for the patients also, like, you know, understand. To make them, to explain them.
To explain them, yes, yeah. Definitely.
What are the other advances that have come up, like, you know, in the field of surgery where oral cancers are related?
So talk about surgery, I would say that nowadays, free flaps have become very prominent. You know, the failure rates of free flaps have gone very down because the timings have gone down of operating on free flaps. You know, we have a fantastic team which does a free flap within 4 hours time. You know, so initially when I was doing my post graduation, at that time free flap used to be a whole day work. You know, so we have reduced the time to 6 hours. In 6 hours we are out from the OT doing a free flap, and before the same time it should be 10 to 11 hours, so the operative time they've gone down. So this is one of the where we have excelled on saving a lot of OT time of the patient, you know.
Okay.
Lesser amount of GA time. Secondly, the advances like you can say 3D planning that we have already discussed. Okay. You know, there has been advances in scanning, PET CT scans, and you know there have been you know, all the, these things have been a good diagnostic tools for us.
Yeah.
And also when you talk about certain diagnostic tools like Wellscope and you know, fluorescence, which are based on the immunofluorescence, which helps to
diagnose
dysplastic tissue, which helps us to do mass screening at easy go, you know.
Yes. Do you think that the dentist should invest in Wellscope? Because
I don't recommend, because it's very expensive, first thing.
Okay.
Second, I feel that the best way is examination.
Oral
examination, you know, our eyes, our fingers are good enough, you know, to examine something which is investing a big amount, rather you take something else for that amount. And secondly, for mass screening, it is still okay, you know. But if you are not a dedicated oral cancer screening person, then I would not suggest you to invest one in that. But all these things are good for mass screening, to diagnose that there is some tissue which is unhealthy, there is abnormality is there. And then you need to do a biopsy, you know, and confirm it on the biopsy that yes, this is cancer, or this is leukoplakia, or this is erythroplakia.
Okay. Okay.
He said.
Do you think that counseling of, apart from the patient, the patient's family, like, you know, how do you handle them?
Absolutely. I feel it's not the patient who is suffering from cancer, but the whole family who is suffering from cancer, because it causes such a big financial burden on the family. Plus, secondly, that person depends, becomes so dependable on the family, you know.
Yeah.
And the treatment goes almost for, say surgery, 10 days recovery, about two weeks recovery of surgery, and then followed with 1.5 month of chemo radiation. That almost you can say like two and a half months is gone in the treatment, you know. So everyone, you know, is involved in this two and a half months. So we believe, like, I personally counsel the patient first, and then I ask the patient to wait out, and then I counsel the relatives as well.
Okay.
Because they also need to be counseled.
Okay.
Because sometimes they get so emotional and, they are so emotionally down and depressed, you know, more than the patient, that they lose hope. And, you know, once you hear the word cancer itself makes you so low. So we need to keep motivating them. And because they are going to be the pillars of the patient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they go down, then, you know, patient may also feel very low. So
yeah.
I keep motivating my patient's relatives as well. Every time when I go for my rounds, I speak to them for some time, at least for 2 to 3 minutes. And ask them how they are doing and all those things. So these are a few things that I feel a patient's relatives also suffer along with the patient who is suffering.
Yeah. So, since you're an oral surgeon, 3 myths in dentistry that are like, you know, oral surgeons always face, just general, apart from the cancer thing. But
so first and most common is that if I extraction karunga, to meri eyesight loss ho jayegi kya. So this is one of the myths that very commonly asked to me, will I lose my eyesight if I remove my tooth? That's one myth that I have come across very, very, very commonly. I can't recollect anything.
How would you bust it? Like, you know, where do you think that it started, must have started from? Like,
this is something very, actually I went ahead and I did Google this question, that why do patients, so I always tell them that I will have to take an ophthalmologist with me and I have to roam along, you know, if this was possible. I don't know, maybe people talk, you know. So how I relate is what I see usually, you know, when these dental problems initially begin, when you undergo extraction, you are usually in the middle age, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel all, and usually in the middle age, that's the time where you see that, you know, all the ophthalmic problems also start coincidentally. So maybe it's just related to that. So and that's why, you know, there are some specs which are called Chalisa, if I know in Indian. Maybe somewhere it's related, but it is a myth.
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
Not going to have any effect on this.
Okay.
And this is one of the most common myths that I have come across. Now, to think of suddenly, you know, it's...
because sad. I had a patient just similarly that we told, like, you know, as we discussed, so I was treating his wife and I was just asking him that is everything, I was doing a filling or something. I was asking her like everything is comfortable. He spoke from there, kuch sharp nahi lag raha na, abhi bolte nahi to cancer hoga usse. And I know it's one of the reasons.
So this has become very common now. Like, what I feel patients, especially the young patients who must have, 2 days back I came across a young patient, 36-year-old. And he used to smoke in college days.
Okay.
He used to have tobacco in college days. Now he has stopped. So he has visited 13 doctors. And I was the 14th whom he visited. And I saw him. I asked him, what is your problem? So he said, ulcer hai, chhala hai, chhala hai peeche. I examined, there was nothing. And when I sat with him, and when I started asking him, why do you think? Then he revealed that he had visited 13 doctors already and they all have said that there is nothing.
Mm.
But psychologically, he's still affected. Because he has had tobacco and he feels ki mujhe cancer ho jayega.
But you know, I had this very strange case with me. A patient came in and told me that he uses a toothpaste, Dentobac, I don't know. It's a tobacco induced toothpaste. And he told me that I have this habit where I apply the toothpaste even if I'm sitting in the office and just keep it.
Yeah.
Because that if I'm not applying the toothpaste or if that toothpaste is not in my mouth, I get very restless. And I did not know how to counsel him, how to help him. Like, you know, all I could do is like, you know, the habit has started from you.
Yeah.
And it's only you who can stop it.
Yeah.
Maybe slower, like, you know, lower it down gradually. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I just carry the toothpaste everywhere. He seemed helpless.
Yeah.
He himself seemed helpless.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was so difficult for me to even, like, you know, help him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think that we should be able to...
Yeah, so, basically, what... see, they're so used to the taste now, you know.
Yeah.
Especially even that Rajnikanda and all, you know,
yes.
whatever they eat,
yes.
Nothing against any brand or anything,
yeah.
but it's that flavor, you know,
yeah.
that takes them,
yeah.
you know, so they're so used to it now that they can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
And they constantly need something in their mouth now,
yeah.
especially the drivers, you know, you see they keep something or,
yeah.
or the other
yeah.
in their mouth, and especially all of them are tobacco-based products, you know.
Yes.
So. They need something going on in their oral cavity.
Yeah.
And because of this, what happens, the teeth become so untreated. And because they become untreated, eventually they become sharp.
Yes.
And because they become sharp, then they may cause ulcers.
That's how,
that's
yeah.
how it starts, you know. So, okay. this is, eventually we must motivate everyone to, you know. And once or twice I've spoken to one few patients and they have said that if we, doc, you... Two things is that, doc, you do whatever. I'm not going to leave habit. If you can cure me, you cure me. Otherwise, let it go. This is one of the incidents that happened to me to that extreme that these guys are addicted to. And few of them say that if I don't smoke or if I don't keep tobacco in the mouth, I will not be able to go to toilet. I will not get toilet and all this thing in the morning. So it's hilarious, but yeah, they have all the excuses possible to, you know.
But do you think we have enough rehabilitation centers in India? Where...
No, we don't have enough rehabilitation centers, and which are there also, they are not easily accessible to the common man, you know.
Yeah.
So we need to concentrate on rehabilitation centers, but I feel that every dentist can himself become a counselor.
Okay,
that's what I do. I try to counsel them a lot, and eventually I also try to counsel them financially also. I tell you how. It's simple. Like, I give them an example that how much do you spend in a day on this tobacco products, you know. So they would say around 30-50 rupees per day. So I would calculate, say, in a month how much you are spending. So then they would say around 1500 rupees. So I would say, in a year how much you are spending now. So it's something around 18,000 rupees they are spending in a year. So then I ask them how long you have been eating. So they say around 20 years. So I said, just multiply karo kitna hua. Then if there is coming with a kid, then I said, yes, education aram se ho jata hai itne paise mein to. So they feel really guilty about it, you know, ki why did I do? So few patients I've been able to manage like this, where they eventually left when I got this financial aspect into the thing. Certain patients, we need to get family aspect into the thing, some family quotient into the thing, like, bachcho ke liye chhod do, ya inke liye chhod do. But there are some patients who are really stubborn. And, you know, by hook or by crook, chup ke, ye karke, they just continue. They just continue. I've seen patients who have come to us with recurrence 3 to 4 times also, and they have not stopped the habit even after 3 to 4 times. Chup chup ke peete. It's like that.
That's
so
sad.
So that is really, really something.
Yeah.
It's on the... See, you can help who wants to get help. If that person doesn't want to get help,
yeah.
then it's his destiny, it's like that.
Yeah.
But whatever best we can do, which we should do, it's like that.
I mean, I really feel like, you know, telling them that please visit, there are Tata centers, and if
yeah,
you
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Visit the scene over there, the scenario that you see. Because nowadays, you know, they've become so immune.
Yeah.
Agar aap movie dekhne jao, you go to watch any movie, you have this advertisement coming in the
yeah.
beginning. They've become so immune. That does not affect them at all.
Doesn't affect them.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish them, like, please go and see, visit Tata Cancer Institute, and just visit the institutes where, you know, such patients are suffering.
Yeah.
Suffering. You did mention about that you have a trust, like, you know, where you raise money, like, if you can just give an idea, like, you know, if anyone wants to contribute.
Yeah, so what we do is we are a team of doctors, okay?
Okay.
There are a few people whom you know also, like Sharmika and Niyati. And,
okay.
You know, so we all, Dr. Rajesh, who is the main person of C-SPAN Foundation. So he and me and Mr. Nitin, three of us started this small foundation 5-6 years back, where we do a singing program,
okay,
annually, and we sell the tickets off, and whatever we get from the tickets and from the sponsors who sponsor the show, we gather that money, and we support up to 1 lakh rupees to these patients, you know.
Okay.
Say for example, if the costing of the surgery is about 2 lakhs, and patient has somewhere around 50,000-60,000 rupees. And he's struggling to get the surgery done somewhere, so we help him with 1 lakh, and then, you know, it's become so easy for the patient now to get the surgery done. And in all these surgeries which we do, we charge very minimum. It's like peanuts what we keep our surgery cost as. So that's our way of doing that charity, and plus people who have done charity, even they're helping out in that way. So some of the other way. So that's the way how we are operating nowadays for our poor patients, you know. So we believe that every patient should get the treatment, and if you visit our hospitals, they are not less than any 5-star properties, you know. It's it's equivalent to a good surgical center, reputed surgical centers, and they are all you know, with best infrastructure, and for the patients and for the relatives. There have been instances where patients who have come from far and they don't have any place to stay in Mumbai, you know.
Yeah.
In Mumbai, the stay is very expensive, so we have been able to accommodate them in the hospital and ask them to stay here for 2 days, then get all the investigations done, operate them, and then send them back, you know.
Yes,
like that. So, yeah, this we have operated a lot now. It's been about 9 years that I'm doing this now. So, in 9 years, I've learned a lot. I've been taught a lot by by a lot of patients, and yeah, and I'm still learning. So.
Yeah.
There are a lot of futures. I think oral cancer, though it has been understood, but I feel still we need to understand it. It's like that, because still we don't have answers to many things.
Okay.
Like I shared with you, like why that T1, T2 tumor in 6 months' time got metastatic.
Yeah.
But there are patients with three T4 tumors, and still those tumors don't get metastatic. So there are, it's always about the biology, and we need to understand this biology even better, so that we can treat these patients accordingly, you know.
Okay. Do you think that the other pathies that you talked about can be a conduit, like, you know, just something that they can go ahead along with your...
I feel definitely there's a scope where together holistic healing can happen.
Yes.
Okay. And previously, I have spoken a lot about holistic healing also, okay. So... But you cannot move away from primary. See, what I tell my patients is, what is cancer basically? It is that part which has gone rotten. Okay. You can keep it. Okay. So you need to remove it. The best treatment plan would always be remove it. Khana sar jaye to hum fridge mein nahi rakhte na usse. We throw it away. Right. So we need to first and foremost throw it away.
Okay.
And then... those aspects which you cannot see or which could be, you know, then that needs to be tackled with all those pathies, what you're talking about.
Okay.
Maybe yoga, maybe meditation and exercises, you know, which boost our immunity.
Yeah. Treating it psychosomatically altogether.
Yes, altogether psychosomatically.
Yeah.
Because I've seen patients who are strong-headed are doing really well, you know.
Okay.
They fight cancer very well.
Okay.
Yeah, so... this is one observation, you know, and patients who think, come with doubt, you know, whether I would survive, I would not survive. I've seen, you know, some of the other complications keep happening with them. So I always say that be positive about anything that you do. So with that positive approach, I tell them that we should start a treatment.
Okay. So we can work all together, like, you know, as a complete this thing, and give a good patient care.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel
so. Even when we treat, it's me as a oncosurgeon. Then there is a plastic team. Then there is a rehabilitative team, a full team of dental surgeons. Then we have physiotherapist who takes care of it. Then there's a dietitian who takes care of the diet.
Okay.
Okay, then there are counselors who do counseling every day to these patients. So there are so many aspects involved when the 7 day that patient is spending in the hospital.
Okay.
So he's going through all these things.
Okay.
Every day. But along with this, meditation, yoga, all these things can definitely add on, you know.
Oh, the roots that are there.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Right. Definitely we can add on those things, you know,
yes,
to make the roots even better.
Yeah, yeah.
And to release those good hormones, you know.
Yes, yes.
Which can...
Positive hormones. Very
body.
True.
It's like that.
Very true. Thank you so much. I think we come to an end to
thank
this
you,
podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
I had good time.
I hope
you.
The people who watch, they get some learning,
yeah,
some kind of motivation and like, you know, even for dentists who are looking, they get a idea that how they can help their patients.
Yes. So yes, just to conclude the entire thing,
please,
I would like
go
to
ahead.
Tell all my dental friends that you are the prime person who see the oral cavity for the first time when patient comes to you. So if you diagnose it at that time, you can give a new life to the patient.
Right.
Because if the cancer detected early, it can have a very good result with minimum rehabilitative option that is needed by the patient after the surgery.
True.
So with minimum involvement or minimum investment, we can have maximum output. Because earlier we detect the cancer, you know, better is the prognosis.
Yes.
It's like that.
Very true.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pranay.
Please press like button if you like the video. Share it with your friends. Comment down your views about it or any special requests that you have. And subscribe the channel. Thank you.